Welcome to the Walls of Sparta. It's a podcast dedicated to authentic stories of men overcoming adversity by demonstrating strength, leadership, and healthy masculinity. I'm your host, Greg Papanicholas, and you can find me on social media at GregP_coach on Instagram and the Sparta Code on TikTok. Sparta is famously known as the ancient city of elite warriors. These legendary men defended their homeland with such vigor that they themselves became the walls. This show honors that Spartan legacy by showing men how we can remove our barriers and build true inner strength while promoting healthy masculinity in family and in business. The Walls of Sparta is sponsored by the Sparta Code. If you're a former athlete, business executive, or an entrepreneur and you know what you're capable of, but it feels like you've kind of lost that edge lately, you're not alone. Our society has rapidly evolving and is those of us who still hold on to those traditional values can have a hard time keeping our tools sharp on our own. That's why we created the Sparta Code. It's a brotherhood of men who value strength, family, and leadership. But above all else, we are all committed to stepping into our true purpose and leaving a lasting legacy. We're on a mission right now to impact the lives of 1,000 men in the next 5 years. If you have a burning desire in your soul to return to the greatness you once felt, it's time to start living by the Sparta Code. And get that code now at www.coachgregp.com. So I got today's guest, Josh Thomas, who's a business coach and entrepreneur from Austin, Texas. And this man is a 15-year grizzled veteran entrepreneur who has worked with more than 5,000 entrepreneurs across 30 different industries over the last 15 years. Many of his top clients have been able to 2x, 3x, and even 5x their sales in less than 90 days by following his proven sales system and his guidance. As a longtime business consultant, he is the founder of Conversational Funnels and the co-founder of Anabots AI, as well as the host of the Do Zone and Big Ticket Pros podcast. Austin, Texas is currently his home, although he's originally a Kentucky boy. So, Josh, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, glad to be here. And
Awesome, buddy. Thank you.
I gotta tell you, that was an epic intro. I was feeling it. Like, I'm like, yeah. Whoa.
You got hyped. That's the point, man. That's always the point. So we start off every single podcast episode with the same opening question. And this opening question is, what is the best way to promote healthy masculinity in today's society?
Man, so for me, I have never considered myself a super alpha apex predator kind of guy. And I don't think that that means I'm not masculine, but I think that there's this intertwining of what of masculinity with this kind of alpha dominance. And I'd like to separate it because I think really healthy masculinity has to do with stepping into and embracing your manliness without squashing anybody around you because you don't need to. Like, if I need to push you down in order to feel big, I'm not really that big, am I? And so for me, healthy masculinity in today's society specifically has everything to do with step into who you are, stop worrying about what somebody else is thinking about you, about other things, about, I don't want to get political here, but, whatever bathroom that they're going into or whatever kind of clothing they're wearing, stop worrying about all that stuff and start worrying about how you can be the best man that you can be.
Right. So is that something that you kind of figured out early on about yourself? You kind of discovered, early on in your career or your life in general?
Well, for me, I'm like this weird, like everybody thinks they're weird, I guess. But I've been this guy that's never really fit in. And I know this isn't a therapy session, Greg, but I believe that a large reason that I look at ways the thing that I things the way I do is because I didn't really have a strong male presence in my life for most of my youth. My dad wasn't around. Mom raised me. And I still wonder to this day, if dad had been around, how much different would I have been as a man, as a human, as a leader, as all of these different things? Like, how much would that have impacted who I am? I don't think I'm at a disadvantage. It's just different.
And that kind of goes without saying. When I meet people that have that known leadership in their lives, they tend to double down on it a lot of times, almost trying to prove to themselves that, hey, my dad did it this way, so I'm going to do it this way. Some of them take, the opposite direction and they go the other way. They're the rebels. But
I ain't doing it that way.
that's the you do it. You figure that one out on your own. You didn't need any guidance on that. But yeah, I think another part of that is the role that women can play sometimes in this, because we often think they don't really have a role. But do you think they have a role, and what do you think that role would be in the development of masculinity, especially when we talk about the polarity of everything?
Well, that's an interesting question. Do women have a role in promoting masculinity? And I think that the answer is it depends. And I would say yes, because to a certain extent, it creates this dichotomy that, just for instance, that movie Inside Out, about the little emotions in the girl's hand.
Seen it.
And there was the first movie, the whole movie was all about Joy saying, no, we don't need sadness. We have to be happy all the time. And the end of the movie was basically proving the fact that, no, you really need balance. You need this A, B, you need this black and white. You need that difference, because that's how we can balance out. And so for me, then femininity makes masculinity possible. Because without it, we would just be a bunch of dudes running around beating our chests for no reason.
They kind of allow us the space to do it and give us sort of the platform and the area to become ourselves in that regard. That's interesting. So I want to ask this, because you touched on the rebel part and sort of going your own way when it came to sort of being the weird one almost. Do you think there that sort of rebellious attitude is sort of a subset of building your masculinity? Do you think it's just a given that most masculine men, more masculine men, end up being sort of the rebels?
It's hard to say. To me, I almost feel like a lot of us hide behind a wall of what we call masculinity because we're scared and we're insecure and we're just not willing to admit it. And that's why we put up this front. Like, I don't want you seeing who I really am. And so I'm going to be a big manly man. And I've done it. And we've all probably have our ways of puffery, basically just puffing up your chest and making you look bigger than you are, because that's how you handle, when you're being threatened, whether it's a physical threat or an emotional threat. So I mean, that to me is what I would say is, and a lot of the times we are hiding behind this masculinity, and that's where people start calling it toxic masculinity, because it's this thing that's not necessarily good. And I know that a lot of your mission is, well, okay, yeah, that's there, but how do we make it good? How do we make it something that's good for the world instead of something that people are throwing tomatoes at?
Instead of using it as that sort of defense mechanism, we're opening it up for the world to see our true selves. And that's how important this mission is, because in order to discover that individual, the true individual, the one you're not putting out into the world in a sort of a performative way, a way that shows that it's somebody you've meant to be all along, instead of, the I guess, like I said, the performative individual that you're trying to put out there into the world that everybody's supposed to count on or view in a certain way. And you're sort of almost acting in a way. Do you feel like that kind of gets in the way of the development of men when they're younger? Just that sort of performative action.
Well, as you were talking, I was just thinking about just genetics and natural selection. When I was in my 20s, I didn't have to work nearly as hard to get a lady's attention as I would now. I'm not like going out there trying to peacock or anything, but being an older guy, you start to kind of lose a step, you lose an edge, and there's this moment where it didn't you didn't realize it until there's this one moment where you look around and there's like all these young guys and they're like fully grown, and they're like in the prime of their lives and you're past it. And you're like, damn, what happened? Like you look at them like they're kids. Yeah, they're kids until they're your peers. And if you aren't constantly kind of keeping up with that, you can get over the hill real quick. And then you're like at a disadvantage and you got to figure out, all right, well, how do I recoup? And then the way that some people recoup is they just say, well, I'm manlier, but they don't do anything about it. The way that other people handle it, and they say, oh, I've been slipping, I better catch up. And that honestly, that's really the only answer is, I've been slipping, I better catch up. Because your words mean nothing. Your actions are everything.
Yeah, and I really think that's the whole accountability aspect of this. If you can't own up to it, you don't really feel as though it's gonna work in your favor, even though you can pretend it's gonna work in your favor. If things, aren't the way they are, and you're struggling, and you're feeling like all you're doing is putting up walls and closing people off, and when you're making those mistakes and not, owning up to them, like we're supposed to, do you think that kind of catches up to somebody who may seem as though they think they got it figured out, and by that time they realize, hey, if I'm going to try to find a woman, if I'm going to get my life together, I got to break that barrier down of that defense mechanism and that way of thinking where I can, completely be true to myself and be accountable.
Here's what I think, Greg. The greatest gift of life, of existence, is self-awareness. The absolute greatest gift that can be handed to you in your life is self-awareness. Because 99% of us are walking around like zombies. We have no idea that everything and that's happened to us in our entire life is our own damn fault. We have no idea that we are the major contributor to all of the things that have ever gone wrong for us. We have no clue. And the second that somebody hands you that gift or you discover it yourself, everything changes. It gets a little depressing
Yeah,
for a
it sort
while.
of does.
It's kind of like, damn. This is all up to me. But you can very easily turn that around and say, damn, this has been all been up to me. I better get to work. Because if you, and that's the thing, like once you see it, then you start looking around at all of these other people around you and they don't see it. And then the world gets real small. And you start to want to be around people that see it. Is you see it and you can't unsee these things. Once you like take the pill, you step out of the matrix and you see all of the zombies, you can't not see them again.
Do you think part of that sort of independence and you kind of working outside of that box all the time, do you think that has a lot to do with it, sort of that waking up period and almost feeling lonely at a certain point where you're like, man, nobody else is feeling this way around me. I better make a change. Did you go through that sort of loneliness period almost?
I'm gonna say that, it would be great to say that once you become self-aware, it is a linear straight line of do this next, and you'll be okay. But the reality of it is, when you break through and you look around and you don't have anybody next to you, the only thing that you're seeking, it's not progress, it's comfort.
Right.
And comfort can be found everywhere. Comfort can be found in a bottle and a syringe at McDonald's, in a back alley, with that one girl that you don't really want to wake up with, but you're not ready to go to bed yet. Like, there's all kinds of place that you can find comfort. And most of it, not all of it, is really isn't that good for you, and it doesn't help your progress. But it's alluring to our survival instincts. Our brain is just like, hey man, I just want the pain to stop. Well, here's your solution to your pain. Here's your solution to your pain. Here's your solution, but it's always a quick fix. And so I, just like anybody else, I'm not going to say I've reached some pinnacle. I have broken through and I've made some progress, and I've slipped back and I've made some of those mistakes, not all of them, but I've made some of them. And it cost me years off my life. It cost me relationships, and I've done all kinds of stupid stuff because I don't know where else to go, and I just seek that comfort. But the one thing that I do know is I'm only there because of me. That's the only real comfort I can have, is whatever decision I make, it's mine.
And when we kind of open up to it, it's going to be peaks and valleys, and we have to sort of accept it, for what it's going to look like. Have you applied that healthy masculinity aspect to, your business, your career? Have you, in what ways have you kind of done that?
So I'm gonna say, like, it's kind of weird. I have 7 employees right now, and they're all female. And so I'm surrounded by women at all times. I don't know if that's healthy masculinity. Could be.
Can be. Depends.
But when you work with so many women, you start to realize, like, if you really pay attention, the way that other men treat women is wildly different than it should be. Like, there's an epidemic of men treating women like they are less than, or like they are, they don't belong, and that sort of thing. And I have seven women whom I count on for my ability to function, because if they weren't all in on me, I would be sunk. And so part of what I do to represent men is I see them, I look at them, and I say, I see you, I care about what's happening to you. I want to know what's happening in your life. I want you to know that whatever it is that's happening, and whatever issues you've had with some other man, you do not have that issue with me. And I don't like outright say that, because that would be kind of awkward, and make them uncomfortable. But I do it with my actions. We set aside time at least once a month. I have a one-on-one with each of my team members, and we are not allowed to talk about work. It's just like, what's happening in your life? And I hear literally everything at this point. And so, but it's great, because it's like, I'm glad you feel so comfortable sharing with me about your irregular bowel movements. But, like, I don't need to know that. But if you need to tell me that, then I will receive it, and if that's not manly, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I tell you, and she's been a lifesaver, for me. My wife, she built my first CRM. Everything that I was doing at the start required a lot of shaping, and that's why I feel the feminine side, which we didn't get to, but it goes without saying, they're good at shaping your path. Like they could see pretty far ahead to notice the blind spots that maybe you don't see. And I noticed that about, my wife at least. So she's definitely been there to help with that over the years, and we appreciate it, I'm sure. So Josh, man, this has been awesome and really enlightening, of course, and lots of, chunky bits to take away from this, man. And I know that in your business you've done a lot of work on your masculinity and making sure that it is representative of you. So tell us how you serve and how people can reach out to you.
Yeah, you got it. So if you are an entrepreneur or you run some sort of business and you're looking at ways to put more qualified leads and prospects on your calendar and opening up genuine conversations like the one that Greg and I just had, then that's where it makes sense for us to chat. And what I do is I build conversational funnels that naturally and authentically take somebody from cold to client in the fastest, most genuine way possible. Okay. So we don't need to worry about paid ads. We don't need to worry about a bunch of cold outreach or a bunch of rejection. It's all about just opening up a conversation, just like the one that we just had, as a way to lead naturally to the next step of the relationship, which may be to do business together. It may be to refer business to each other, or it may be to partner up on an entirely new idea that nobody would have ever thought of. And so, if that's something that's interesting to you, you can learn more and download the free blueprint that I've put together at conversationalfunnels.com.
So awesome. I appreciate all that. And we are going to wrap up from here. Thank you to our guest, Josh Thomas, for joining us and sharing the story of the strength and resilience. And guys, you can learn more about what Josh does by visiting anabots.ai. And you can also go to conversationalfunnels.com as well. If you're a man who's battled the demons and lived to tell about it, we want to hear from you. Come share your story at the Walls of Sparta. We interview men who overcame adversity by demonstrating strength, leadership, and healthy masculinity. Apply for a future episode by going to thewallsofsparta.com. And once again, if you know how greatness feels, if you want to feel that greatness again that you felt before, and you have that burning desire to bring it back, get the Sparta Code now at www.coachgregp.com. Thanks for joining us on the Walls of Sparta. Now go forth and conquer.